Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Reach in and grab it for yourself. Use this Word of God. Use this cutting edge. So he reached out his hand and he took it. And so this picture of the cutting edge maybe is a word for some of us tonight. Don't give up. Stop swinging away. Back up a bit. Where did you lose it again? Where was the last place you saw it? Go back and do those things again. And throw your old flesh into the water. How many times? As long as it takes. Well, when will I know that I'm done? When the cutting edge becomes apparent again. Then reach out and you grab it. Now watch this next one. This is one of my favorite stories in the scriptures. Verse 8. Now the king of Syria, that's our boy Ben-Hadad II. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel. And he consulted with his servants saying, my camp will be in such and such a place. But then the man of God, that's Elisha, sent to the king of Israel saying, beware that you do not pass by this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. So they were setting up these ambushes against the people of God. They would plan it out with great military exactness and preparation. And then Elisha would simply utilize the spiritual gift of knowledge, supernatural knowledge. And he'd say, oh yeah, king, don't go by that place. Why? Syrians are waiting by the bushes. Really? Yeah. Verse 10. Then the king of Israel sent someone to take the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him and said, he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So over and over and over again, Elisha has their number. Verse 11. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, all right, which one of you is a spy? Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, none, my lord, O king. It's that Elisha guy. The prophet who is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak even in your own bedroom. He's totally reading your mail. How does he do that? It's their God. Well, I know how we'll fix their God. We'll shut the word of God up in the form of, we're going to kill this Elisha fella. Verse 13, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, he's in Dothan. Remember, Dothan means two wells. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early, he went out. He's all, got his coffee, and he looks out and around his whole city. Horses, oh no, and chariots. Really scary stuff to the typical pedestrian walking around on feet and sandals. Oh no, look, there's horses and chariots. And a servant said to Elijah, my master, what are we going to do? Love this, verse 16. So Elijah answered and said, step number one, don't freak out. Breathe. Do not fear. Now watch this. Because those who are with us number more than those who are with them. There are more people on our side than those guys. The servant probably looked in. Everybody's still sleeping. He looked out and all he saw was Syrians. What are you talking about, word of God? when the Word of God says to us, don't freak out. No matter what the election results are. It's all going down the toilet, or some are trying to say. Don't fear, Harvest Family, because those that are with us are more than those that are with them. Verse 17. So Elijah prayed, Lord, open his eyes. See, the Word of God here modeled by Elisha. We go to our whatever and we see the enemy bearing down, bristling with armament, that there's no way we're going to win. We are about to suffer a stunning defeat. Again, maybe it's the marriage. Maybe it's a difficult report from a doctor. I don't know. But there's a part of us that say, oh no. But the Word of God says, don't freak out. Because greater are those that are with us than those who are against us. I don't see it, Word of God. And then the Word of God says, Lord, open his eyes. Seeing the problem is only step one. Step two is dive into the Word of God. And God's Word opens our eyes to see the solution. Elijah prayed, verse 17, and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened his eyes of the young man, and he saw. Oh, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of what, everybody? Fire! These are angels! Remember that old chariot? Chariots are a signet of warfare, more specifically of might and power for the purpose of warfare. The fiery chariot that arrived on the scene, that's not what took Elijah to heaven. The Shekinah glory did. Then what's with the fiery chariot? It was a symbol saying, hey, Elijah has been fighting the battle against idolatry in Israel. That mantle of warfare is now falling to you. That's what that whole picture means. So there's the humans with their chariots. What do you suppose heavenly chariots look like? Your guess is as good as mine, but I bet they're awesome. And I bet heavenly horses are bigger than earthly horses. By the way, Revelation 19, when Jesus Christ returns to the earth, who is with him, everybody? All of us. And we are riding on what? Horses. My hunch is the horses that are stabled in heaven are fiery all the time. They are heavenly horses and they are huge and they are powerful. And we see sort of their first mention. Actually, this would be second mention. The first one was when Elijah saw them. Verse 17, and then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So there's the army. We're going to get you. And the army didn't see what was encircling them. Now watch this. Fascinating. Verse 18. So when the Syrians came down to him, even though they are chariots, I want you to see how God does it. Well, they swooped through the camp and they killed everybody, right? Watch what happens. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord. So they're all, get them! Ah, heading toward the walls. So Elijah just simply prayed. Hey, Lord, he said. Strike this people, I pray, with blindness. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way. So here they come. Oh, we're going to get you, people of God. And as they were blind, they're all, uh-oh, we're blind. And then the voice of Elisha, remember, he's standing as a picture of the Word of God. There's yet one more picture that he's standing at. Remember when I was blind? Oh, I'm going to get you, whatever. And then the voice of our Lord said, hey, Steve, This is not the way. I think there's a model of the gospel here. Easy, Assyrians, with your chariots and your spears, breathing out death and fear and destruction. That's not the way. You are blind. I am? Nor is this the city. This conquest is not really what your heart desires. Here, follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you are seeking. Yeah, we're after King Jehoram, right? No, no, wrong king. Let me show you the real king. But he led them into Samaria. Now remember, Samaria is the capital of the northern kingdom. So it was when they came to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, now open the eyes of these men that they may see. And then the Lord opened their eyes, and then they saw, oops, they're inside Samaria. And I wrote my Bible, now who's surrounded? And when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elijah, my father, wow, good job. We want to kill them? Shall I kill them? But he, Elijah, answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword or your bow? In fact, set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Jehoram's going, what are you talking about? Then he, the king, prepared a what, everybody? Great feast for them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them away, for they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land. This is a peculiar picture. But remember, if any portion of Scripture seems a bit bizarre to you, always put Jesus in the center. I see the gospel here. When I was blind, rattling my saber, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. We're going to capture that city of Dothan because we'll get our spoil, and that's why I joined the army. And as I went rumbling down, I'm going to get you. Blindness. But I heard a voice. Yo, Steve, this is not really what's going to float your boat. This is not really what you're looking for. I have a better place for you. And you know what the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ did? He took me to God's people, church. And then I opened my eyes in church and I began to see some stuff. Interestingly enough, one of the first things I saw were people yelling at me. Should we kill them? Elijah, representing Jesus, no, don't kill the non-saved people yet. Because they're blinded, remember. Is it possible that God's people can act weird sometimes? What a model, even of the church. Should we kill them? No! Feed them! Feed them the Word of God. Feed them fellowship. Feed them the Lord's table. What a picture here. I think I have a verse for you. Join me in Romans 12. This is something that the Apostle Paul, I don't think it escaped his notice at all. Remember, the Apostle Paul knew his Old Testament very, very well. Is that perhaps what he had in mind in Romans chapter 12, verse 17? Romans 12, hey Christians, repay no one evil for evil. But they're dirty, rotten Syrians. And they were going to kill us. So we get to kill them, right? No. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. And if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Hey, beloved, hey, Harvest, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. In other words, put wrath in its right place. Because it is written, vengeance is whose, everybody? God's. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I will repay. Is it our job to stab and kill the blind people? Answer, no, said the Word of God. Well, what are we supposed to do? You're supposed to feed them. Now watch what Paul says here. Therefore, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, kick him in the face. What does it say? Feed him. If he is thirsty, stab him in the neck. No, what does it say? Give him a drink. For in doing so, now watch this, you will heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, if you don't know what this little metaphor means, you're all, so I can't stab him? No. Can I kick him? No. Can I cuss him out? No. And if you do so, you'll heap coals of fire on their head. Ooh, coals of fire on their head. I like that. You have to understand what's going on. Today we have matches, lighters, and we flick a switch or scrape a match across a rough surface. How did they start fire in these days? It was an arduous process. So what happened was, you tended your fires. The fires that kept you warm, the fires that cooked your food. And if you weren't watching, what would happen to the coals? They would go out. Now, you could, if you wanted to, labor and grunt and sweat with flint or friction instruments to try to spark a fire. If you've ever watched Survivor or any of these other shows, do you guys know how hard that is? Really, really hard. Or you could go to your neighbor. Yes? Yeah, I wasn't watching and I let my coals go out. Number one, the first thing that raced through your neighbor's head was, what are you, goofy? Dude, you weren't watching your coals? That's a cardinal sin number one. Yeah, I know. May I borrow some of yours? You could hold it in your hands if you wanted to, but the custom was wrap a bit of fabric around your head so that it would hold a bowl of hot coals, and that's how they often carried stuff around. So heaping hot coals on their head wasn't like, burn. I love to burn people. No, this was one of the most neighborly acts of friendship you could do. No matches in this culture. When a home fire went out, used for warmth, light, and food, and cooking, then you had to go get your coals from your neighbor. It was a picture of fellowship, kindness. And even though this person was foolish letting his coals go out, because of the love in my heart for you, here you can have some of my coals. One more time, verse 19. Hey, Harvest family, do not avenge yourselves. That's what we like to do. I don't get mad. I just get even. No, says the word of God. Do not avenge yourselves, but rather put wrath in its correct place. For it is written, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, and I'm the one who repays. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, it's like when you extend great hospitality, kindness and caring. Hearth and home to someone whose coals have gone out. And what is the response of somebody? Yeah, let my fire go out. Can I have some of yours? And instead of the haranguing, ha, what a doofus. Your neighbor says, here's the bowl. They place it on your head and take them home. Because I love you and I'm looking out for you. Word of God, greater are those that are around and for us than those who are against us. If you're taking notes, here's a couple of verses. You guys all know these verses, but why don't you scratch them down and look them up this week? I think there's a reason God led us in the music that he did tonight, the songs that were selected, and this verse here about losing one's cutting edge. And also, too, when the enemy surrounding us seems overwhelming. So a couple of verses, okay? Number one, Hebrews 13, verse 5. He will never leave us or forsake us. You might want to revisit that verse. Also write Philippians 1, verse 6. He will complete, everybody say complete. He will complete and finish the good work that he has begun in us. He hasn't brought us this far so that we blow up. Now write Romans 8:28. How many things work together for good? all things are working together for our good to them that love Jesus. Write this one down too. Romans 8 verses 35 through 38. Please revisit them at home. And if you need to, literally read these verses out loud. Because you're not only convincing yourself, but the whole demonic horde that is around your family and home trying to discourage you, they need to hear it as well. Romans 8, 35 through 38. Nothing can separate us from His love. Nothing can separate us. Here's another one. Philippians 4, verse 19. All our needs are met through and according to His riches. How much does He have, you guys? Exodus 15, verse 26. He is the God who heals us. Jehovah Rapha. Oh, be encouraged. Let's all stand together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, there's some pretty special sons and daughters in this room. And Lord, there's an enemy that is working hard against godly marriages. Trying to say, oh, there's so much water under the bridge. The filing system is stuffed with memories and accounts of things done wrong and said awfully. Wounds, real or perceived, it doesn't matter. There are still wounds. And they just seem so insurmountable. And we look outside and we see our marriage, or we see this calling that God has given us, or we see that the cutting edge all those years ago, it seemed so prominent and promising. Somehow today, they seemed absolutely ludicrous. Please remember that the Word of God floats the axe head, reveals the cutting edge again. And then when the enemy's saying, you're going down. No, says the Word of God. The Word of God, Father, open their eyes. And then remember that little picture of the gospel. Remember when you were a goof up before you were saved? Blinded? Jesus said, you're following the wrong voice. Follow my voice. And that thing that you thought you want, that's not what you want. Let me show you what you want. And look where He took them. He took them to church. Seriously, the church is full of goof-ups. But there's something special about the goof-ups in God pouring out heart and tears in worship, saying, oh God, that the revival happens in our soul and stubborn unforgiveness is washed away by the water of the Word. And my right to plant the flag, to hold on to my bitterness and unforgiveness is washed away by the current. My cutting edge appears again. Oh Lord, take Harvest Family Fellowship, a bunch of living stones with all kinds of problems. But Lord, whenever you bring us together in the sanctuary with worship and the Word, do the thing you do, Lord, and take fractured and bleeding and wounded humans and fill our hearts with grace and mercy. And then let husbands and wives look at each other and say, I'm sorry. And then when God reminds me of all the goofy things that I did before my eyes were opened, then I can cut a little slack for my spouse. And God, it really is all about us coming together on the foot of the cross, holding the hem of your garment, as it were, and saying, oh God, I love you and I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do. Do you realize that His return is so soon? Let us be about our Father's business, wielding a sharp cutting edge once again. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, You can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.